What you are about to hear is a labor of love. Our love is for the music, and the music is for the people. We at Rockstrex 10 and CNJRadio.com have always recommended that any music we promote on our shows be legally purchased, downloaded, and/or streamed. We feel this way not only for our network of shows, but for all music-based shows. By supporting the artist in this way, more music can be created and the industry as a whole can prosper. The music is owned by their respective labels, or hopefully by the artists themselves. This broadcast is owned by CNJRadio.com. Our only mission is to promote the music we love and promote the legal purchase of it. Enjoy the show and turn it up.
Welcome to Rockstrex 10!
Welcome to Rockstrex 10, the show guaranteed to always give you 10 songs, no more, no less. My name is Joey. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show here today, especially if you're doing it at the central station of CNJRadio.com. Okay, so this is the last episode that I need to quote-unquote play catch-up with, and I definitely didn't want to let this one go because I don't think I did this at all 10 years ago when it was on its 50th celebration. So on February 9th, 1964, I was not alive. I was going to be born about 15 years after the fact. But I know enough to know that that was a super duper important day. And it wasn't the birth of pop culture, but it almost might as well have been. No, I'm kidding. But as a lifelong music guy, I don't know if any of you have ever like spent enough time in the shower or in the bathroom pondering like what the world was like before rock and roll. Like, that's not any kind of reality that I want to know at all, but it's interesting to think of it. And you know, of course, already throughout the 40s and 50s is the real birth of rock and roll via jump blues, soul music, even country music. And there's that moment in the 50s where it's Elvis and Chuck Berry and Little Richard and all that great stuff, all the rockabilly and all the doo-wop groups and everything. And there's that moment right at the end of the 50s where all the squares and conservatives and all the fascists, they all tried to kill off rock and roll. And they almost succeeded. Had it not been for yet another British invasion, of course, everybody knows on February 9th, 1964, the Beatles played Ed Sullivan. And wow, imagine the butterfly effect of that. If the Beatles had not played Ed Sullivan on February 9th, 1964, what the world would look like, what the world would be, it would be less than, that's for sure. And you're talking about a United States that really needed a kick in the ass after the horribleness of the assassination of JFK. We got the Beatles. And nowadays, the kids like to say needle moving. And yes, one of the ultimate needle moving moments, I think, honestly, in the post-50s world, between Hank Ballard writing The Twist and kicking off that whole thing, and Playboy magazine and Beatlemania. Like, if those three things don't happen, we are fucked in this country. As far as from a cultural standpoint, we don't get really anything great after that if none of those things happen pretty much all at the same time. So there you have it. I'm paying tribute, obviously, here. They made three appearances on Ed Sullivan every week. I mean, the demand, obviously, but at the same time, like, that's wild. So they basically had a residency on the show for that month. Then they came back, I think, another year later and then played it live for the last time. And then afterwards, they just started sending in videos. After that, they videoed it in after a while. But I'm focusing specifically today on this episode on the first appearance. That's the one everybody remembers. That's the one everybody's always going to talk about. And not that the other appearances are bad, but honestly, like, you just can't beat the magic of the first time. And that concerns a lot of things. But let's get back to the Beatles. So they played five songs that night. So simple enough, I'm going to play you five double shots of 10 different covers of five unique Beatles songs. Not that these are songs that they necessarily wrote. We'll talk more on that as we go, but strap yourselves in for a massive amount of variety. And I wanted to say that up front as I play this first double shot, because this might throw off some people. But we've got some really radical departures coming up here throughout this episode. But kind of keeping in line with this particular decade, the 60s, got two different unique artists covering this one particular song. And this was the first song that the Beatles played on their appearance there that night on Ed Sullivan. I'm playing these in order as they appeared on the show, by the way. So they kicked off their appearance with All My Lovin'. And as luck would have it, I've got a version here by Herb Alpert, which I'm not normally going to play Herb on the show, but I think it just ties in really well to the Beatles because Herb infamously outsold the Beatles at their creative peak in 66 or 67 or whatever it is. He can lay claim that at least in America, he sold more records than the Beatles that year. But at the same time, I mean, let's be honest, the fix is in because, I mean, Herb is the A of A&M Records. So there's a little bit of a monopoly there in the way that albums are shipped out and all that stuff, let's just say. But I think it's interesting that prior to doing that, he did cover All My Lovin'. So we're going to kick off this All My Lovin' twofer with Herb Alpert, of all people. And then we're going to play something completely different after that. And like I said, this show is going to be pretty wild in the variety. So stay tuned. Till then, here's a double shot of All My Lovin', kicking off with, yes, the aforementioned Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass Band. Here you go. Enjoy.
Dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you. All my loving, darling, I'll be true.
Okay, yes. All My Lovin' right there, represented by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass Band from their album South of the Border, Down Mexico Way. Yes, you don't pay me to sing, and you don't pay me at all. So I tell you what, I'm going to sing until you pay me. Okay, yes, the Johnny Rotten effect, as I call it. But yes, Herb Alpert doing All My Lovin', and then we finished off that twofer with arguably the Elvis Presley of reggae music. And what I mean by that, or we could say the Beatles, right? The Beatles of of reggae music. Prince Buster, who I memorialized in 2016 when he passed away. If that guy doesn't exist and doesn't put out records, then a lot of my favorite bands don't exist. The early punk, ska, new wave scene in the late 70s, early 80s in England, all big Prince Buster fans. All your punk rock bands that you like from the late 70s have a lot of Prince Buster influence in them. So, yeah, there you go. In case you didn't know that, that guy was great. That particular cover of All My Lovin' came out in 68, a double A-sided 7-inch, or 45, as I still like to say, shared with Otis Redding's Try a Little Tenderness. Go seek out that single. That's some stuff right there. But yeah, we kicked off the show here in a light mood, and we're going to ease into the rock and roll here. This next song, even when the Beatles did this song, in no way was this a rock and roll song. This was, I feel like this was a handshake into older culture and be like, hey, we're not here to corrupt your kids kind of thing. I mean, why else would they do this? I mean, obviously they probably like the song, or let's say at least McCartney likes this song. Let's go with that. Not that I'm trashing the song or anything, but it's definitely not rock-a-rolla, as we like to say. But the second song of the night performed was Till There Was You, which is from The Music Man, most notably. And I believe this is irony. Later on, Paul McCartney would go on to own the publishing of this exact song. So, good for you, Paul. But yeah, that night they performed this song, as they had done when they would play some of the more, let's say, uptight, posh-type places. They definitely played this at the Queen's Jubilee concert or whatever that thing is at the Royal Albert Hall where Lennon says, shake your jewelry. Great, great moment right there. But yes, this song right here, unlike All My Lovin', I basically have two very traditional covers of this song, but they're from really cool artists, so definitely didn't want to leave out Till There Was You. We're going to kick things off with a favorite of the Beatles. This guy definitely helped out in popularizing rock and roll in a pre-Beatles world. It's, of course, the mighty and late great Ray Charles.
There were bells on the hill. But I never heard them ringing. I never heard them at all till there was you, baby. Oh, no, oh, no. There were birds in the sky. But I never saw them winging. And I never saw them at all till thou. Y'all know they tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and dew, there was love, the thing was all. And and I never heard it singing, you know. I never heard the thing at all till there was you. I say they tell me, it's sweet fragrant meadows are gone and doomed. Oh, there was love, and it got all around me, baby, but I never heard it singing. No, darling, I tell you, I never heard it at all till there's you. Sing it.
There were bells.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all till there was you. Then there was music and wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and you. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you.
That's about as note for note perfect you can get in covering the Beatles version of Till There Was You. And who better to do it than the band that sought to cover the entire Beatles debut, Meet the Beatles or With the Beatles, depending on what country you live in. The Smithereens right there, finishing off that too for with their version of Till There Was You from Meet the Smithereens. So if you fancy hearing the Smithereens cover the Beatles' first album in a very traditional manner, which it's really nice, actually. And the Smithereens, talented band for sure. I definitely don't play them a whole lot on the show, but that's not on purpose or anything. But yeah, there you go. Smithereens doing Till There Was You. Before that, of course, we had Ray Charles doing it as well, and Can't Beat Ray Charles, of course. So as those songs were playing, I was looking up, like, I know this is from The Music Man. I was like, well, maybe someone interesting wrote it that I could talk about. And I saw the name Meredith Wilson as the credited writer of that song. And so I learned a couple of things just now, if you care to hear them. Meredith Wilson is a man. So there's that. His legal name is Robert, by the way. I'm just like, I guess maybe there was another Robert Wilson or something like that. So it's Meredith Wilson. I don't mean to make fun, but I do, but I don't. But yeah, Shirley, is that your name? Shirley. Yeah, it's like, okay, so Meredith Wilson here wrote Till There Was You. And here's a how do you do. In case you hate this song, you can blame Meredith and make fun of him on top of it for writing, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. I'm in a singing mood today. As George Carlin once famously said, I'm musical. Doesn't mean you're musically talented. It just means you like to break out in song. You're musical. But yes, Meredith Wilson wrote Till There Was You and It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. He wrote a lot of bloody nice songs. And but yes, if he didn't write that, we wouldn't have that song right there. Till There Was You. We are really easing into this thing right here. I swear it's going to get really weird here. Starting with this one right here, of course. Gotta play She Loves You. She Loves You, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I verbalize it that way to get you warmed up for this version right here because this next version, not so much a song as it is a sketch, but it's technically a cover version because every lyric of She Loves You by the Beatles will be heard throughout this version. And much like with me playing Ray Charles here just a few minutes ago, here's another big influence on the Beatles. Apparently, specifically, John Lennon was a big fan of this guy right here. And he's an interesting cat. If you care, or if you have, let's say, I don't know, the stomach? Is that the right word? If you are morbidly curious to go look up the history of this man, it's an interesting one for sure. So, kicking off this twofer here of She Loves You covers from the Goons, this is Peter Sellers.
I have made several experiments, and I have come to this conclusion.
So?
You think that you have lost your love. Well, I saw her yesterday. It is you that she is thinking of, and she's told me what to say. She says she loves you.
Yeah!
Yeah? Yeah? She loves you.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! She loves you.
Yeah! Yeah.
Yeah! 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 She said, you hurt her so.
Good.
She almost lost her mind.
Good.
And now she says, she knows that you're not the hurting kind.
I am.
She says she loves you.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! She loves you.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah, she loves you.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to you. I think that it's only fair. Pride can hurt you too. Apologize to her. Because she loves you.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She loves you.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Speaking of
I can actually tie in those two versions, those two completely opposite versions of She Loves You. I could tie those in really well with each other. Okay, so let me start. Of course, we kicked off that twofer of She Loves You covers with Peter Sellers and his cover version, in air quotes, of She Loves You. Obviously giving off massive fascist dictator vibes right there without saying the name of the person, who should never be said and should never have been popularized. But continuing on after that, and God, did that not just sound like the original version? Did that not just sound like a real live version of She Loves You performed by the Beatles? And I knew who this was, of course, when I picked it for the show. But if you listen to that blind, if you Pepsi challenge that, like, it's the Beatles, right? No, it's not. It's crazy. That was Beatles disciple Billy Joel right there. And that's from the time, if you're a child of the 80s or a teenager or adult of the 80s, I say child because I was in the 80s, there was that moment where Billy Joel went over to Russia before the Iron Curtain fell and played some shows out there. And it was a big to-do, and it was well-documented and everything. And there's like a bunch of rehearsal footage and stuff that was recorded that wasn't the actual show, Cohept or whatever it's called. This is from like the deluxe version of it. And during rehearsals, they rehearse She Loves You. And that version's so damn good, I can't believe that hadn't surfaced until the special edition of that came out fairly recently. But yeah, She Loves You by Billy Joel and his band right there in about 87, I believe. And I'm still blown away by that cover. That's one of the most accurate, like, spot on. And the fact that they did it live, just like one take on a soundstage right there. Good stuff right there. So yes, I'm really bummed out that I did not get to go see Billy a few weeks ago here in town. But that man signed off on way too high a ticket price for me to go. So he definitely priced me out, which is a shame, because there was enough room in that building for a lot of people, and we could have still made him a good amount of scratch. But hey, well, c'est la vie. Never got to see Billy before. I should have gone when it was only like $30 to go see him at one point. I really should have. I guarantee I should go back and find out. I'm sure some of my friends went to see like a co-headline of Billy and Elton, like at Texas Stadium when they did those tours together at the stadiums and they played side by side on the piano. I'd love to see what their ticket price was. I bet it wasn't any more than $30 or $40. But all right, anyway, moving on here. Let's get off that. How much would the Beatles be charging right now if they were still around for ticket prices? Eh? Eh? Anyway, all right. Holy crap, I just looked over to my right and looked at my my format sheet here, my playlist for the show, and I was like, I didn't realize that I set it up that way, but you would think that I did. No, I'm speaking off the cuff. I have no notes. I look over here and I see, yes, it actually is time for Elton John. So, yeah, we're getting into I Saw Her Standing There, and no, I'm not going to play the Tiffany version, which I don't dislike that version. But I'm not going to play because there's so many other versions out there to play. And going to start off this double shot with, of course, Elton John. He's one of my faves. And toured with Billy Joel in the past. So, yay, good tie-in right there. This has an interesting story to it if you don't know. I remember hearing about this years ago and read up a little bit more on it recently. So, if you remember the song, I believe it's actually from 74, yeah, something like that, 74, 75, Whatever Gets You Through the Night. Elton John and John Lennon did it together, and supposedly there was a lighthearted bet between Elton and John. You can't say it either way. John and Lennon, or Elton and John? No, you have to say both names, or else it sounds very confusing. So between Elton and Lennon, see, you got to go with the first name and the last name. Funny, I've never actually used this before. Okay. Oh my God, let's get out of this hole. They had a bet going that if Whatever Gets You Through the Night went number one, because Elton thought it would be a number one single, and John Lennon did not think it would be a number one single. So Elton said, okay, if it goes number one, you got to come out of retirement and come out on stage with me, and we're going to play it at the Garden or something like that. And he was like, yeah, sure, bet. And Elton won the bet because it did become a number one single. And so John Lennon stepped on a stage for the first time in a long time, Madison Square Garden, and performed Whatever Gets You Through the Night with Elton and his band. And he stayed for a little longer because he's a good sport. Why not go out there and at least do a few songs? We got you out there already. And I believe they also did Lucy in the Sky. Elton had a version of that, at least out or coming out at that point. And one, I think it may be another song. But all that being said, Elton got Lennon's ass out on stage again, and we thank him for it. And here's audio of that exact performance right here. Here is Elton John and John Lennon doing I Saw Her Standing There at the Garden. Enjoy.
Standing.
right. There was a fun twofer for you right there. In with the rock and roll. That was, of course, we talked about it, Elton John and John Lennon doing a live version of I Saw Her Standing There from Here and There, double live album. And finishing off that twofer from the Butchering the Beatles tribute album. There's no way I could let this episode go without playing something from that. That was a Bob Kulick produced tribute album, as you may know those albums. And as Bob would always do, with very, very little exception, he'd put together these one-time-only, quote-unquote, supergroups of different players from different bands in the hard rock and heavy metal genre. Fun thing about this, looking over all the musicians on this particular performance here, I've seen every one of these musicians live. So let's go down the list. If you didn't recognize that great voice right there, I'll hip you to it. One of my favorite hard rock singers of the last few decades, John Corabi. John Corabi being the lead vocalist right there. Of course, formerly of The Scream, Motley Crue, Union, now on his own. Go see him if he hits your town. Always a great show. Cool guy. Real nice, regular guy. Got two lead guitarists on this track right here. Phil Campbell, formerly of Motorhead, but also forever Motorhead. And of course, currently of Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, a band you should know. Right there on lead guitar. And on other lead guitar, one of my favorites, CC DeVille. Yes, right there. I freaking love CC. Of course, CC of Poison and Samantha Seven. Of course, I've seen him live multiple times. On bass, a name you may not know, but you should by now, because he just might be the new bass player for AC/DC. At least a touring member at this point, upon Cliff Williams' retirement announcement for the second time now. This guy, Chris Chaney, is now apparently playing bass for AC/DC, or at least he will be on this upcoming tour they're doing. As of this recording, that's all the info I have right there. But Chris has played with a ton of bands. I saw him play live with Jane's Addiction. I thought I'd seen him play with Garbage, but I think I'm confusing him with a different guy, so I don't think that's the same guy. But moving on to the drummer position of this rhythm section, Kenny Ironoff, the great Kenny Ironoff, who I've seen play live a lot of times, with at least, let's say, four or five unique artists. I've definitely seen him play for the Smashing Pumpkins. I've seen him play for Billy Gibbons. I've seen him play for a good amount of people, and I mean that. So, yeah, drummer extraordinaire right there, Kenny Ironoff. Kenny follows me on social media. He follows me, okay? Let's just get that clear. But, yes, I Saw Her Standing There by John Corabi, Phil Campbell, CC DeVille, Chris Chaney, and Kenny Ironoff right there. And probably Bob Kulick on rhythm guitar, because if I was him, I would have done the same thing. I think he played rhythm on every song he produced for those albums. All right, so there you have it. How could you not enjoy those two performances? Those were both super fun. And we will finish off this show, our great tribute to the first ever world-changing appearance of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show here, with I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I've got some doozies for you right here. Much like I've done a few times throughout this episode, I will finish off this twofer with a very traditional version of this song. But I gotta play this before we get to it. This is really cool, actually. So this one dates back, I believe, late 60s, early 70s. It goes pretty far back. I think it's actually late 60s. And I learned of this cover version probably about 10 years ago, and I still think it's wild. And it's a true cover. They made it their own, for sure. And some people may not like this, but my other favorite thing about this is the fact that somebody covered this version of it later on. So I'll talk about it after this twofer. So we're going to kick off the I Want to Hold Your Hand twofer with The Moving Sidewalks. Enjoy. Yeah. Closing off the show here today, a couple of really cool bands right there doing I Want to Hold Your Hand. First band you heard right there doing what some people may consider a frustrating version of it, where they hold back that downbeat, but sometimes that's really, really cool, and I love that version. That was The Moving Sidewalks with lead guitar and vocals by Billy Gibbons. You know that name. I shouldn't even have to tell you what he did after The Moving Sidewalks. You should just freaking know what the Reverend Billy G was up to as soon as the 70s started up. But yeah, that cover version that I made reference to, the Melvins, who are huge fans of ZZ Top and rightfully so, a power trio in their own right, sometimes, most of the time, they covered that version of, and I found out that was from 1968, that version of I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Moving Sidewalks. They used that exact arrangement for their version off of the album Pincus Abortion Techniques, a favorite album of Randy Brown's, by the way. And then we finished off the twofer of I Want to Hold Your Hand with the Rubinoos, great power pop band that you should know about. Started off in the 70s and went through the 80s. Really, really, really cool band that should have done a lot better. That particular version of I Want to Hold Your Hand was done in one take at a session they did for CBS Records. And you can actually find that whole release, streaming and physical and all the things, on an album called the CBS Tapes. And on that, I believe they also do a version of She Loves You on there and a few other covers. But Rubinoos, cool band. Go look them up and go check out that Moving Sidewalk stuff if you haven't heard it. You know, the pre-ZZ Top, Billy Gibbons bands, Warlock, Moving Sidewalks. On the other side of things, you got American Blues. But yeah. Fun stuff. Go check out the family tree of releases there of ZZ Top stuff. Check out some Rubinoos. And hell, if you haven't listened to a Beatles record in a while, then go listen to that. You should. They're good records. No need to be contrarian. I hate people that are like, oh, the Beatles are not that great. Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Go burn all your other records then if you don't like the Beatles, okay? Just do me a favor, all right? But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode, my very candid episode here, as we pay tribute to 60 years on since the Beatles first played Ed Sullivan and changed the entire world. Recently talked to my good buddy Steve, who's also a big Rubinoos fan, by the way. He got me into him, basically. I was asking him because he was just around the time. He was alive at the time when the Beatles played Ed Sullivan. He was in the early days of elementary school for him, if I recollect that properly. And the way they talk about it, he was like, yeah, the world changed overnight. All my friends, our tastes, that's what we were about. The haircuts changed. Everything changed because of that one night. That's pretty great, man. I love it. So there you have it. So this episode is especially dedicated to my brother Steve. Send that man some positivity, some positive vibes, and well wishes, because he needs it, damn it. You're going to be all right, Steve. All right. Everybody else, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Not sure what the next episode's going to be, but I guarantee you that I will put everything I have into it, and, of course, bringing the quality music along with me. Till then, stay tuned for my better half, Nola, with the plugs, and followed by the best damn outro song in all the podcasting business. Take it away, Nola.
We would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the show today. You can reach us on Facebook or Twitter. We love getting messages and always do our best to respond. Every time you share our show, we give our cats Ruby and Ripley a treat. We are on Twitter at RockStrikes10, and the direct email is RockStrikes10@gmail.com. When you search for us, the number 10 is always spelled out. If you would like to support our show financially, we do have Rock Strikes 10 shirts for sale. For $20, we will ship you out a high-quality, soft-as-heck, next-level branded shirt and a button. Send us an email or direct message for more details or to order. Please help us spread the word about this show and all of our other quality shows by listening, liking, subscribing, and sharing. Our official website is cnjradio.com. You can visit this site for all episodes of Rock Strikes 10 going all the way back to episode number 1. While you're on cnjradio.com, check out some of these other quality shows. The Wrestling House Show, a pro wrestling podcast unlike any other. The Synaptic Empire Audio Transmissions, hosted by Randy Brown, a true alternative. The Last Theater, starring Chris, where cinema's trash is treated like treasure. And the I Am Vinyl podcast with Pete LaRussa and occasionally Joey. We also highly recommend that you check out our good friend Mark Striegel, who can now be heard exclusively on SiriusXM as part of Ozzy's Boneyard and Hair Nation. Last, but certainly not least, we would like to give an extra special thanks to the great Pete LaRussa and the band Spacebeard for the best outro song in the business. Go to facebook.com/spacebeardband to purchase their music and make sure to tell them that Rock Strikes 10 sent ya. We hope you tune into the next show. Until then, have fun.
Ed Sullivan. Everyone does Ed Sullivan now. Even agents can do Ed Sullivan. I'm sure that somewhere in the world is a goddamn bear that can, just from being on the show, you know, and watching Ed from the wings, you know, you pick it up. Now, I know that a lot of guys do Ed Sullivan on kind of an amateur basis, and I'm here to help. It's, you know, kind of replaced the lampshade for men at parties. Now, dig it. When you do your Ed Sullivan impression, don't worry about the voice or the mannerism. Just the acts you introduce. The stranger, the freakier the acts are, the better your Ed Sullivan will be. I'll now start my Ed Sullivan. I do the John Biner Ed Sullivan, by the way. Many of the comics prefer the Will Jordan. But the John Biner Ed Sullivan is cued for my ear by saying the phrase, "Well, now you know." But I know. But I know right here in our show. But I know. I'll get him. But I know. But I know right here on our show, and I was just after Connie Francis, her tribute to Carmen Basilio, and immediately following, or just following, the Waltzing Mice, the Maori Fire Eaters, and just before, was that just before or just after? During... the aerial photographs of Kate Smith. The entire female population of Guadalajara will run out on our stage and yell out their brassiere sizes. Now in our audience site, and I, you know, sitting out there in our audience, where are you now? There you are. The Loch Ness Monster. That's all that's really here. That's really here. He swam all the way from Scotland. And also in our audience. Now, where are you? There you are. The world's largest nun. Don't stand up, sister. But now you know. Now you know next week on our show. The Bronze Age. Excerpts from the Protestant Reformation.
What would be the ultimate Ed Sullivan act? It would have to be... it would have to be everything that has occurred since eternity. Or maybe how about Ed just staring back at you for an hour?
How are you?
I'd like to see them one time. Well, it's over now. No one got a chance to thank Ed either, man. You dig that? The last one that they taped, they didn't know it was going to be the last one because they were due to go into reruns the next week, and then it was canceled after it was in reruns. So at the actual last show after 23 years, nobody really, you know, knew the vibes they were into. What a shame. I would like to have been there just to say, thanks, Ed! No kidding, man. Thanks for all them crazy acts and everything in all those years. Wow. Thanks for the Beatles, Ed. Ed made sure we got them, man. And Elvis? Yeah. Little Maudlin gang, but thanks, Ed. Da-da-da.
Post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.